Welcome to Joculiar, where the show is gossiping about the women's sport and tell you some diga dark secret.
Bounce, bounce, pass.
Sports.
Pass, kick, pass. Dunk it.
What?
Funk it.
Sure.
Serve it.
Here.
Work it.
Switch.
Jocular. We're about to get jocular.
Hi! Hello. Welcome to Jocular,
the show where we gossip about women's sports and tell our
deepest, darkest sports secrets.
We always get spooky when we talk all together.
I don't know if there's another way. If there's not a way that makes it like
no
warm and welcoming.
No, you're right. It's always spooky.
Because you have to slow down. You have to make eye contact.
Yeah.
And you're trying to kind of match tone. So it becomes really.
No, it feels like very.
Monotone. Yeah.
Well, we should introduce ourselves. My name is Tian Tran. I go by she, her pronouns.
I'm ER Fightmaster. I use they, them pronouns.
I'm Katie Kershaw, and I use she, her pronouns. And on today's show, we're gonna talk about a few things. Talk about the new NWSL jerseys, what it's like getting your period during sporting events, live events.
And shark attacks.
Shark attacks.
Thank you. We cannot forget.
And we're going to be revealing our final four in the Queer Madness bracket.
Queer Madness.
We've been watching these teams. Watching. Love watching. We've been watching,
we've been watching these teams
compete for weeks now. And we're going to see who makes it through. We're going to be crowning the top four. Our final four. These two are so excited about it, they're crying. They're literally crying.
We're final four.
They're crying in. Wow. The recording studio right now.
It's just kind of unbelievable because, you know, you just grow up with these gay icons.
No,
and just to watch their careers accumulate,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They kind of come down to this.
And like,
yeah. Is it culminate or accumulate?
It's
culminate.
I think it's
so
accumulate.
So when the clouds are above
don't
the
fucking
sky.
Worry about it, you guys. I'm done crying. I embarrass myself. Just cut it.
Okay, but before we get into the rest of the episode, we have to talk about
March Madness!
It's happening!
Wow!
The first two rounds, it's the best.
It's just like fucking full days of sports.
Yeah.
I also was sick this past week, so I got an excuse to sit on my couch. I formed a divot in my couch.
Whoa.
From watching all of the games.
Wow.
I just wanted to brag about that.
No, well, no, I think that's huge.
Kind of speaks to how little I stood up.
I went to a game.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a friend of the podcast reached out and gave us some tickets. And Katie, I think you were moving. Tian, you were sick, and so I went and saw UCLA play Cal Baptist.
Woo!
It's so cool to see it in real life. It's like I always feel that way. You know, I felt that way when we went to the soccer game
yeah.
the other night. Like,
yeah.
You can watch these things on TV as much as you can, but to anybody who's listening, if you have the chance to go
yes.
to a professional women's sports game in real life, you simply must do it.
I'm going to Portland this weekend for the Elite Eight.
Wow, wow, wow.
So jealous. That's so exciting.
The Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. I'm so excited.
That's
just like
awesome.
Last minute kind of just bought tickets. We were like, my wife and I were like, let's just do it.
Hell
let's just
yeah.
do it.
That's so fun.
And I'm so excited.
That'll be so cool.
I know. I'm
the
so
together
excited.
Folks will be there, you should say.
I will say hi to them. Uh-huh. The other thing that's really exciting, along with the players, is that the fans have turned out so much for mm-hmm. these first two rounds. Like, there were 60,000 more tickets sold in the first two rounds of the women's tournament than last year.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I feel like for so long, I've been, like, saying, we all have. One of the reasons to go to see women's sports, not only in my eyes is it superior, but also it's affordable.
Mm-hmm.
It's an affordable mm-hmm. way to see professional sports. But I don't think that's going to be lasting
no,
that
I don't think
much
that's
longer.
Be
no,
I mean,
now
we're
now
seeing.
Is the
no,
time.
We're seeing. I think one of Caitlin Clark's tickets are, like, $500.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is amazing, and also changing times.
You know, it sucks for the audience, and I hope that they find ways, because I think that, you know, women's sports hopefully is that we're always doing things better Like, I want stadiums to have a guarantee that this many tickets are accessible. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually think it should be demographics based too, of like, if you've put your stadium in an area where a lot of people are lower income and you have imposed the stadium, or the stadium is imposing on an area, then you have to drop your tickets even more for 50% of your goers. It's the way that a lot of men's sports teams are now, that's a completely unattainable ticket. Yeah. I never want to see that happen with women's sports.
I hope
sports.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
It is really cool, though, like, so many of those, like, to see all the universities and the students pack out those stadiums,
yes. mm-hmm.
like, to go full March Madness. There's a lot of fratty energy, which I'm like,
I'm
you
fine.
Know what?
Yeah.
If this is the type of fratty energy that I can get behind. Fratty for good.
I wonder if there's even a way to, like, clarify that energy even more, because, like, we've kind of joked in private about how I personally think that supporting women's sports is going to be a way that a lot of public male figures try to look
yes.
like. Yes, I think it's going to be. You're seeing it a little bit where it's like you can tell PR teams are like, just go to a women's game, and
they'll
then
ignore
everyone,
that terrible thing you did
to your wife.
Yes,
100%. And I think that on the reverse side of that, I am excited actually about this fratty energy at these women's collegiate games, because I think that these guys that we're seeing in the audience are going to these games, maybe even to be like, well, I'm a good guy,
yeah.
you know, blah, blah, blah. But then they're getting really into
yes,
it.
Yes, I love it.
And
yes,
I think I think what we're seeing is that women's sports is all about exposure.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of mm-hmm. the men in my life have all these ideas about women's sports because they've heard more shit talking about women's sports than they've ever seen it. All the men I know that watch women's sports that started watching with me now watch women's sports.
Because right. it's just good incredible athleticism.
So you just, mm-hmm. it's like exposure therapy.
Yes. Okay, there were so many stories, though. So what were some of your favorite moments from these last two rounds?
So I was moving a lot.
Oh, okay, yes.
And so it was a lot of me checking my phone to figure out what was going on in the games. And then our friend, Charlie Smith, shout out Charlie Smith, if you check out his TikTok, he covers all women's sports as well.
Okay, I love it.
He would be pulling it up on his phone while we were moving and just like, so we could watch it. I was like, thank you so much.
There's no wrong way to watch women's sports. You got to do it on your phone. You texted me though, Katie, about Audie Crooks.
Yes.
Oh, obsessed with watching her.
Obsessed with Audie Crooks.
From Iowa State.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
40 points in the first round against Maryland. Now,
Freshman.
Sadly now out of the tournament.
Yes.
But I can't wait to watch her.
Yeah.
For three more years.
Three more years.
It's so cool.
As we know, if you're a male athlete, NCAA, you can do a one and done. You play your year, which is like my UK Wildcats. That's what mm-hmm. they're known to do. And I don't love that. But with women's sports, NCAA basketball, you have to play all 4 years. So we develop these relationships mm-hmm. with these players. And there's just so many exciting freshmen like Audie Crooks, like Hannah Hildago.
Yes.
Like, there's just so many amazing players to watch.
Well, and you touched on something interesting, because that all 4 years rule, it's pretty fucking patronizing.
Oh, it is.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
It is. And like, I don't like it.
No, I know you don't. But I don't think a lot of people know that is a rule, that the women have to stay for 4 years. And it really is just like, you remember that, like, the NCAA just considers themselves like Big Daddy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they let their boys do whatever they want. And they just treat the girls like, honestly, shit.
I know. And what's it's different for between different sports, too, though. Like, soccer, you can get drafted from high school into the NWSL.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like,
happening nonstop right now.
It's happening nonstop,
NWSL.
Which is really cool. And I hope we get to a place, and we'll talk about it more, but I want to get back on Audie Crooks, because, like, I was listening to a story about her in prep for this, mm-hmm. and her mom was like a star basketball player. And in her interview, she's like, yeah, sometimes I go one-on-one with my mom, and she's like throwing elbows at me.
Oh. I loved watching Audie and Cam Brink.
Yes! What a matchup.
And I love Cam Brink. I do.
I've come around on Cam Brink. I didn't at first.
I'm obsessed with Cam, and I'm Cameron, and I'm obsessed because I think she's got a little bit of that, like, fuck around and find out. Energy that, like, I love about, like, an exciting athlete. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she, I was watching, when I was watching that game, I was like, this looks like if Taylor Swift was evil.
Yes, 100%.
In the absolute best way possible. Like, I love that quality in an athlete. Like, it's, mm-hmm. we were talking about Diana Taurasi. Like, I love an athlete that's like, get the fuck out of my way. I'm playing basketball. And, mm-hmm. and does not care about how they're perceived. Which we were also talking about, Caitlin Clark.
Yes. We see that more and more coming out in her, and I love
it. I'm excited about it.
Me too.
Even though her dad does not seem to like it from the stands.
No, there was a moment like in that West Virginia game where they were like, it was a very intense, it was a like highly physical defensive battle. Mm-hmm. She scored an amazing, I think like, and one, and she turned around and goes, shut the fuck up!
Yeah.
She rocks. She
and I was like,
rocks.
That, yes.
It's exciting.
Like, that sort of energy is exciting, and we shouldn't, like, have the double standard of they can't act like that.
No, no, no. And in an even more microcosm way, like, the way that LSU, which is a much more visually black team, team, than Iowa and Caitlin Clark, when they act like that, they get, you know, they have a bunch of male sports announcers being like, ungrateful. These
I mean, it's also
bitches.
Racially
so
coded.
All
it's
so
all racist.
It's all racist.
And I just want to make room for all of them to shut the fuck up.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. you cannot put these wonderful, strong, mm-hmm. adrenaline-filled athletes on a floor in mm-hmm. high intensity for an hour and expect them not to say a curse word.
Yeah. Like, I can't believe we still have the standard for female athletes of being like, they're not ladylike enough.
I know, because through all of this that we're talking about, they still are doing these things with a level of maturity
yes.
that no male athlete seems to exhibit in similar high-pressure situations.
Couldn't agree
They're doing
more.
Their press conferences with civility, and that's all I ask. You go out on the court, I want you to be as alive as you can possibly be, and then you take a moment and you come in and do press.
With that, I think we need to take a moment. We're going to take a quick break, and when we're back, we're going to be discussing some of my favorite topics. The new NWSL jerseys and getting our periods, which I'm on mine
right now. Me too.
Oh, I just finished.
See you guys after the break.
Okay.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bounce, pass, kick, pass, jocular.
And
we're back.
It's time to talk about fashion.
Fashion.
It is, especially with the start of the NWSL 2024 season.
Wow. I'm excited for all of us, but I am most excited for you, Tian.
Yeah.
I know. Thank you. I feel really seen. It is.
You're wearing your, can we fit check you today?
Fit
what are you
check.
Wearing?
I'm wearing the old Angel City, the original Angel City home jersey. I personally like it a lot. I don't know what these little, what do we think this is?
It feels, it's somewhere between a seashell and Art Deco.
I was thinking
yes,
Art Deco.
Art Deco. So
yeah,
maybe
very
like very.
Art Deco. Like old Hollywood?
Old Hollywood. Yeah, you could see me like a 1930s like jazz lounge.
There's a
maybe.
Lot of Art Deco buildings downtown that are really beautiful. So
maybe
that
yeah.
is it.
Well, I love it.
The train station?
The train station.
Oh,
oh my God.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Tian, I think you sent this. You were the first one to send this to the group chat, but the mm-hmm. NWSL and Nike partnered to make all new first and secondary kits,
yes,
right? So
they
all
did.
New outfits, because soccer people are fancy. They call them kits.
They call them kits. They call them kits. I think that's like a European
yeah.
term.
My little kit.
Kit. I
look
imagine.
Look at little kit. I just bought a new kit.
With my jumper.
Oh my God. I'll wear my
jumper. I got a jumper over my kit.
You guys sound like that documentary about the Beckhams.
Which
Beckham?
Which Beckham am I?
Yeah,
which
am
Beckham?
I, yeah, yeah. Which
is Tian?
Tell the truth.
You're obviously.
Tell the truth.
David.
Thank you.
And you're posh, Katie.
Thank you.
Oh, Victoria, I never really liked soccer. I still don't. Football, I don't watch it play.
And we're allowed to talk about David Beckham because he looked like a lesbian, a beautiful lesbian all throughout his soccer career.
Yes. Beckham is like one of the first gay movies I
can
remember.
Queer canon.
100%. Yeah.
And the Spice Girls. So it's a complete and total crossover event.
Yeah.
Oh, so you'll be there.
Somebody call 911. Katie just had a seizure.
I watched Spice World at my friend Kimberly's house. She lived in a holler. She had no cable. And sorry for putting you on blast. And we would just rent movies and just watch them for like, I would stay at her house for like 2 days. And it would be just Spice World.
That sounds like a dream. I was Sporty Spice in like a talent show.
Oh my God, of course.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm gay now.
I was always sporty, but just because.
Of course.
But I wanted to be scary.
Why didn't they let you?
I guess because they were like, no, no, you're a dyke. And like everyone knew that's what sporty meant.
It is what, I mean.
Like that's what it was code for. They weren't like, she's the only one that played sports. We look at those women's bodies like they all played sports.
Yes.
They were just like, yeah, sporty.
You're like, she wears pants at everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I, not to sound sad, I feel like I was always whichever one was left. Like, I would be like, I'll be Baby Spice. And then someone would be like, no, I'm Baby. And I was like, okay.
Ginger was the right, yeah.
But Ginger's great.
I mean,
thank you. I don't think I need this kind of treatment right now.
You guys, there was, I'm sorry.
Wait, no, we have to heal. We have to help heal.
It's
Katie,
really okay.
Listen to me.
Listen.
There was not a bad Spice Girls.
There wasn't
no,
one that was
I'm not
left.
Saying that there is one. No,
but Katie, it's not about whatever one was left. You there's no way to lose at being a Spice Girl.
No Spice Girl was ever left.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I actually apologize.
Honestly, if I'm being fully dead ass honest, my entire body is tense right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
Okay.
Wait, back to these jerseys.
Yeah, yeah, let's look at these jerseys. Yeah.
Now, soccer jerseys are tough.
I don't like the fabric. And I'll say it. I'm coming out. I'm coming out as someone who doesn't like the fabric. I like the way this looks on you, and you're one of the only like plebes that can pull it off. Like all
Thank
of the
you.
Women obviously look good in it, but when you see a jersey on a regular person, it's like it's a tough fit.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's like don't be around open flame. They just seem so 100%. Like they are going up.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like sweat wicking, but entirely flammable.
Yes, 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 yes.
I don't want sweat wicking from a jersey that I buy. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
I see.
Like, I love that they're coming up with technology for the jersey so that they're wicking sweat off the players. I'm going to wear this to the store.
Yeah. I want, like, chicken wing sauce.
Yeah.
Removal technology.
Yeah, I don't need medical. You know? I don't need medical grade jersey.
No, it always does feel weird to wear a jersey with, like, a pair of jeans. It's like, I guess I'll tuck this jersey in.
Unless
I love it, but it is weird.
I'm obsessed. My favorite like type of fit jersey is the hockey jersey. I feel like it's one of the ones that like has always classically looked good.
Yeah.
But a lot of jerseys, a lot of like the shape and cut of jerseys, I'm like, that's not for us.
I just don't have the muscles for it. Every time I put on a basketball jersey, I'm like, God.
You do. No, I have to push back. You look nice in a basketball
you
jersey.
You really do.
It's because I wear a long sleeve underneath it, so you don't actually see my arms.
No, I feel like I've seen it.
All right, moving on.
Okay, I'm not going to fight back again.
I would never go sleeveless under a basketball jersey. I didn't go sleeveless under a basketball jersey when I was playing basketball.
Because I feel like it's just hard to look cool.
It's hard to look cool.
Okay, do we need to reverse that Spice Girl talk I just said?
Yeah, do it.
You will always look cool.
Hey.
Whether your arms are skinny little bones, you've got some scraggly armpit hair.
Thank you. No matter
what is happening under there, you look like a queen.
Thank you. A queen. Katie said scraggly armpit hair because I did tweeze. I know, it felt like kind of a direct attack on me.
No, it wasn't.
Scraggly little arm hair, little Vietnamese bones.
No,
Katie, you did say tasty little Vietnamese bones.
I never said that.
Okay,
I guess
she didn't say that.
Let's go away from how edible Tien's skinny
little
arms
are. Okay, what is your favorite jersey right now?
I don't know why. I think I think what I'm coming down to, like, while we're looking at these is I'm feeling a little frustrated. Like, they feel, like, a little dated in a way that doesn't make sense.
Yes, I completely agree.
And I don't want that because, you know, I think part of, you know, part of the reason that that you see people in men's sports jerseys is not always because people are mega fans, but because the men have had so much access to brands reaching out and pairing with the league that they have so many different jerseys you can fit, you can find. Mm-hmm. You know, they have their jersey that's for St. Patrick's Day. That they have a jersey that's this is the 1960 jersey, the original cut.
Yeah.
They have all these things you can pick from. And right now, like, a lot of these look like hospital wallpaper print.
They do. Mm-hmm. Did you ever do kid picks growing up? Did you know that software where you could?
Know.
Okay, well.
I think I do know what you're talking
about. I mean, it's like you could make your own little graphics.
Yeah.
And it was like Windows Paint, but a little more interesting.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you could do stamps. I think I made some of these jerseys when I was 10.
Yeah. Do you want to hear how fucking stupid I am?
No.
I looked at that and I was like, that thing looks like a CarMax commercial.
And folks, it is
but
a CarMax
it is,
commercial.
It is. The whole point of the jersey is to be a CarMax commercial.
Yeah, it's a CarMax commercial.
Succeeded. I walked away thinking about CarMax.
It is bizarre. It feels like the lack of, like, attention paid.
Okay, for everyone who can't see the jerseys, North Carolina Courage is giving, like, that old carpet vibe we've kind of been talking about. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's just kind of interesting triangular shapes, purple background, lavender triangle, fuchsia triangle, but for some reason a little red outline around the sleeves.
But yeah, the red outline around the sleeves honestly is the least offensive part to me, because it calls, like, the little logo in, it pulls the logo in. The pink triangles, it's not even fair to call some of these triangles. They are like the mouse clicker.
Yes.
Like, remember when you used to be like, when you're on a computer and you can see your mouse? That's what this looks like. And then the other triangles look like if a toddler drew a mountain.
Yeah,
yes. And one of the toddlers that you'd be like, good job, baby.
Good job, baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Good job, baby. Yeah, it's very
Don't let me be around your kids.
It's yeah.
Yeah, I won't. I'm not having them, and that's kind of the reason
yes,
why.
It's me. Yeah. The Portland Thorns one. It also is kind of looking like a Windows 99 space saver. It's got spotlight energy. It's red with, like, a suggestion of spotlights in yellow.
It looks a little bit like when you go to, like, a gymnastics place, when you used to go there for, like, somebody's birthday party and you go to a gymnastics place and they had, like, leotards that you could buy.
Oh, yeah.
For the occasion. And all the leotards looked like the 90s, but not in a fun or cool way.
Yes.
Like, kind of the worst part of it. That's what this jersey looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah. This jersey put together the worst part of the 90s.
Yes, it's just red. There are some geometric shapes on here.
Yeah, it's everything bad about the 90s. Red shapes, my parents' divorce.
This does kind of look like your parents' divorce.
It does kind of look like my parents' divorce.
It does.
It says 1992. Cut it out.
Houston Dash.
Yes, Houston Dash.
Sure.
It's orange.
Oh my God.
When jersey designers decide to, like, fade in and out of graphics, I always think that's very strange. But it's like white polka dots that fade. To me, it looks like, you know, a pipette dish. Sorry to nerd out. Sorry.
Oh, I was thinking
a little pipette tray.
A little pipette tray. I was thinking pointillism.
That's even cooler.
There's something about the white polka dots going right through the middle underneath the breasts that really, it's that cinch thing that we keep talking about.
Yeah.
Where it just really accentuates a very feminine shape, which
yes.
I understand that is for some people, and it's going to be for, I'm sure, some women in the league really love that. And I'm sure a lot of women in the league don't like it that all these things are tailored around their breasts.
Yeah.
Well,
it reminds me of the belts that I used to wear in Did you ever wear like a long t-shirt?
Yeah.
And then like a huge like 2-3 inch belt underneath?
Yes. I thought I started. That.
I mean, thank you then.
You're welcome.
Because I wore that thinking that I could like accentuate my like nearly A's at the time. That's the bra size I wore.
It's okay. And I'm sorry I laughed.
You're both laughing at nearly A.
Nearly A.
All the people out there with nearly A's, I feel you. Okay. And we're almost there, but we're not there quite yet.
Yeah. It's good. I mean,
it's great.
Yeah. Little titties are perfect.
Yeah.
I think it really what it was is like, I would have rather you just said like my little titties instead of like my nearly A's.
No, because that's nearly, the term.
Nearly A's are nipples.
That's the term?
That was the bra.
No,
the
bra
size was called nearly A.
That. Okay. Our producer's telling us to wrap it up.
Which is
apparently
bullshit.
This is silencing the nearly A community.
If you go to nearlyA.com.
Don't. And don't. Because the government will come to your door.
I think we've went too far there.
No, I feel really positive about that.
I feel good about that.
You know, the fact that we're able to even comment on New Kits is a blessing.
Is a blessing.
Like, that's part of it. Is like, you know, I think we all feel really lucky that we have enough women's sports content coming in that we can have a negative thought.
Yeah, that we can that we can shit on some of these jerseys.
Yeah.
It is progress.
That is progress.
Okay, well, I know we were hard on the jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
They're not that cool. But the very cool thing about them is that there aren't any white shorts with them anymore. Because that's something that athletes have been complaining about. Just like thinking about playing a sport on a heavy flow day and wearing white shorts.
As a person who gets their period, I'm happy. As a person who loves women, I'm sad. I love the white shorts on the ladies. I do. I love their big, thick, powerful thighs in the white shorts. I love it. I think it's beautiful. It's so gorgeous. There's something so wonderful about it.
I don't disagree with this.
I don't disagree.
It's one, and they've been running out in the sun all summer long. They're all fucking dead. They're all fucking sweaty. They got their little spandex coming out the bottom. You know what I mean? Like, I am going to miss it.
I'm excited for them that they don't have to worry about bleeding into their shorts anymore. Right,
it can't all be,
you know,
about...
And getting a blood stain and...
Are you coming back into your body?
Yeah, are you going to be okay?
Yeah, but I'm feeling hot and I'm feeling sad. Have you guys ever gotten your period in a game?
Yes. I feel like I've gotten my period everywhere.
Me too. Honestly, me too.
Yeah. Like, and I'll say it. I've been getting it for so long now. Surprises me every month. I have a period tracker.
I have a period tracker too.
And I will still get surprised.
I just went to the doctor for my little lungs.
Uh-huh.
And they asked me when the last time I got my period was. And I said, I literally can't remember. Like I couldn't, and she was like, a month ago, 2 weeks, and I was like, it could be 2 months,
it could be a year.
Yeah, maybe you should ask her. I can't keep track of her comings and goings anymore. She needs to
take
grow
it up
the
with
fuck
her.
Up.
take it up with her and check her calendar.
Thank you.
I got my period about when I was about to swim with sharks.
Stop it.
Okay,
you
wait
can't
a minute. That's the beginning of Shark Week.
Bro, I'm serious. I was on it was actually one of my first big periods. I was a teenager and I was in the Bahamas. And I have endo, and so it's just so painful. And so I started to get sick on this boat and I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Am I like seasick or some shit? And I stood up on this like big boat deck full of other tourists and to like go to the bathroom to throw up. And this nice man tapped me and was like, sweetie. And I looked down and I was like weirdly gushing blood.
Oh my God.
Yes. And so I'm bleeding all over this white boat deck. And because there's so much blood from this random heavy period, nobody gets to swim with the sharks. Because the sharks can fucking smell that shit.
They smell them from everywhere.
Yes. They can smell the shit and it gets them too excited.
I think you saved lives.
I think you did save
no
lives.
No one should be swimming with him. Let them swim alone.
Boats shouldn't be white anymore.
Boats should also
boats should
not
also
be
not
white.
Be white.
Boats should not be white.
No white shorts, no white boats.
Oh my God. The first time I got my period was in orchestra. I remember I play the violin. I don't know if I ever told you.
I do love that about
you. I think I know it.
I've played varsity soccer 4 years, but the only varsity jacket that I have is from orchestra.
That's to me literally the hottest thing about you.
It says first violin, TN, orchestra.
Oh my God.
We did a Pirates of the Caribbean soundtrack, which was really popular back then. I don't know if you remember that. Anyway.
Of course.
Orlando. And then I first little bleed. It was later in my life, though. I think I didn't have my period until I was 17.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was a little bit younger. I was 10 in fourth grade, and we had bathrooms in the classroom. So I went into the bathroom and realized what was happening, and I was just stuck in there. Because, like, I had bled everywhere, and, like, I couldn't go.
That sucks. What did you do?
Stayed in there. Yeah. Oh, I stayed. I hunkered down, and then the teacher took everybody to, like, recess, and she was like, Katie? And I was like, something's wrong. Oh. I knew what it was, but yeah. I was just like, I also knew that I shouldn't be 10 and getting this. You know, I was
how
like,
did
this
you feel
what you
about it?
Yeah,
like,
how did you feel?
I was really, it's really bizarre. I like hid it from my mom and my sister because I was like, I just don't want them to know. Like, this is too much. I mean, classic story of my life. I was like, this is just too much. I just need to like, it's my mess. Like, I can't deal with this. And then it went away. Cause when you first start, it's not every month. Like yeah, it's like yeah. a, you know, it's a lawnmower, kind of revving up. So it wasn't consistent. So I like kind of successfully hit it. And then when I came back the next year in like the fall semester in the beginning, I got my period again. And this guy in my class, Angel, came up behind me and said, tie this around your waist and go talk to Miss Fields. And I was like, okay. And he's like, has raised by single mom, only sisters.
Oh.
Never said a word to anybody else.
Wow. What a fucking hero.
What an amazing person.
It was so awesome. So then I got like old sweatpants from like Lost and Found. And my teacher was like, now I got my period at cheerleading camp. Like every person who gets a period has like a story.
Yeah.
That's just like devastating.
I don't remember like getting my period while playing, but I do remember I didn't want to wear tampons at first because I wasn't ready to wear tampons when I first had my period.
Same.
And I remember playing soccer in a pad, which
it's
let
tough.
Me tell you, it's tough.
I remember that too. I remember putting like I would wear a tampon and then a pad, and I'd put it inside of spandex.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Gosh.
So like that pad is like stuck to your skin.
Yeah, it's a hot.
That's so
mess.
Hot.
It is a hot mess, and it's like running with like it feels like it's so scratchy.
But you're also like you're running. It's you're so active that I do remember there would be like I would look down and somehow blood would have like escaped
out
the side.
Yes. Mm.
The long and short of it is, we'll miss the white shorts.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we are happy that the league is taking steps positively for people who get their periods. You guys, I think it's time for a break. Chocolate. You guys, we are back with
Queer Madness.
For queers.
If you missed our last two episodes, which is fine.
It's okay.
It's okay. We understand.
It's a little fucked up.
I mean, go catch up.
Yeah.
But we did have a very fun queer March Madness bracket where we pit all of our favorite, you know, iconically gay.
Iconically queer. Classically gay.
Gay events in pop culture against each other to see who would come out on top as the most iconically queer, classically gay thing of all time.
Yeah. Come out on top, bottom, or switch.
Ooh.
Wow.
She said it.
All right. So.
And also, to be fair, these are our picks. Of course, we missed some things.
Yes.
I mean, the cool thing is that people have been reaching out to tell us that we've missed a lot of iconically queer and classically gay events and iconography. And to that, I say, we'd like to have another season.
Yeah, we'd love to have another
season. We'd like to do another season of the pod. So if you feel strongly about us, about this, send these things to us now so we can start prepping for next year's Queer Madness.
And would it not be iconically queer than to correct and say we've left some certain things out?
100%.
Oh, my God. That is so
That is so iconically queer.
Classically gay, talk about it with your friends. Don't say anything online.
Yeah.
But iconically queer. Hey, can I give you some feedback?
Yeah, but feedback is iconically queer. You guys, let's start in our 16 spot versus our number 9 seed. We have Avoiding X at Dyke Day. It's iconically queer.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Short Sleeve Button Ups, also iconically queer.
And when we say short sleeve button ups, are you imagining the ones that have patterns?
You know, yes. I'm thinking of Wild Fang. I'm thinking
okay,
of
great. Okay,
thank Bonobos.
You. Okay,
yeah,
okay,
I'm
okay.
Also, I'm thinking of like you're at your family's like barbecue and you bring your girlfriend and she's wearing like little flamingos on her shirt.
Yes, okay.
You're referencing a shirt that I had.
I am.
Yeah, I know. I know. I live in those things. So, you know what? Let's count on the count of three.
Okay.
Ready?
One, two, three.
Short sleeve button ups.
Wow.
It's
hard.
Wow.
It's hard to deny how powerful the short sleeve button up is to the dyke and the trans mass community.
I went through. Oh, go ahead.
No, go.
I went through a phase where I was buying short sleeve button ups from J. Crew, and it almost felt like I was taking back the power.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I just burped and it was horrendous.
Taking back the power from.
That's the power.
That's the power.
I mean, you know, I'd be living in an XXL Tommy Bahama shirt.
You do.
And you look good in it.
Thank you.
Every time I was picturing Avoiding Your Ex at Dyke Day, I was seeing two people in short sleeve button ups, which is why I was like, I know which one it had to be.
Okay, I love that. Next one up is Ellen Getting Canceled, iconically queer.
Yes.
Versus Tiny Knit Hats, iconically queer.
Okay, are we ready?
I might want to talk it out.
Okay.
I mean, this is why we're here. I might want to talk it out.
This is why we're here.
Go.
The one thing that I'm bumping on for Tiny Knit Hats
is
that I also think it's a fuckboy staple. So it has more cishet crossover than Ellen Getting Canceled does. Because actually, like, I find that, like, cishet people don't fucking care about Ellen Getting Canceled. They're like, oh, so what? She bullied somebody.
Yeah.
Like, they don't care about that stuff, right?
Mm.
It's the queer community that's like, God fucking damn it, Ellen. You know what I mean? But so there's not a lot of crossover there. But Tiny Knit Hats, I see a lot of bad guys with multiple girlfriends that don't know about each other in Tiny Knit Hats.
And you know what? And
same argument for short sleeve shirt. I've seen a lot of bad guys in cool short sleeve button downs. I'm just gonna say that. But I hear the Tiny Knit Hat angle as well because it is a fuckboy helmet. Yes.
So on the count of three, let's vote. We are our number 13 and our 12 seed.
One, two, three. Tiny Knit Hats. I went with my heart.
I knew you were right because I don't even want to talk about Ellen Getting Canceled. And
you're both right. I went with my heart when I should have gone with the win.
This is why
I don't bet.
The audience should trust us because we didn't want to fuck about for that.
No, we didn't want
no,
to.
We didn't
want
to
fucking talk about that. And here we are doing our fucking due diligence.
Yes. Up next.
Juggernaut.
We've got
a couple of juggernauts, y'all.
This is huge.
Carol as a Christmas movie,
mm-hmm.
classically gay, versus The Lesbian Longing in Portrait of a Lady on Fire, also classically gay.
Longing is classically gay. Nobody does unrequited love like the queers.
Yeah, I feel confident with what I'm going to vote.
Me too.
Wow, they're both stories about longing.
They are both they stories both about longing, but some have queer cast members and some doesn't.
You are rude. Oh, you are rude.
Is it not the truth?
Okay, you are rude.
Some of them have a queer director, a woman.
Okay. I'm going to do what I have to.
I'm going to do what I have to do, too.
Okay.
One,
two, three.
Carol's a Christmas movie. Logging in the Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Yeah, sorry for your campaign, but yeah. I don't care.
Thank you. Thank you, Tian. Some just, fucking sense, Carol.
And just as the lead in Portrait of the Lady on Fire walked out of the awards, I'm walking out now.
No.
You know what? Then it should have been. Then that should have been iconically queer. And I think casting it as classically gay actually hurt the portrait of a lady.
I mean,
it'll
still, it would have still gone up against each other in the way that the bracket worked.
Listen, all I'm saying.
Well, listen.
The reason why Carol is a Christmas movie one is because there's so many high-waisted pants in that one. Okay, right. Next one.
Last
one. Okay.
Bette and Tina
versus
as someone who's played a lesbian on TV, Juliana Margulies.
As someone who's played a lesbian on TV, Juliana Margulies. I truly was about to lose my mind. I was like,
I know, I'm sorry.
You guys were going to throw it.
It is my favorite. As someone who's played a lesbian on TV, it is.
You did Tiny Knit Hats.
I did Tiny Knit Hats that way. And as someone who's played a lesbian on TV, it is one of my like favorite pulp culture moments. Like, as all of us as queer actors to hear someone who is straight say that is so funny.
And I understand how, but I'm just so relieved that you came through. Because it would have been
I knew
so
you
dishonest.
Would. I knew you would, so that's why I could do it. But now let's look at our final four.
Wow. I think this is a really good
this
final
is going to be really hard.
We'll have Short Sleeve Button Up versus Ellen Getting Canceled.
Yikes.
Really, I mean, one in the same.
What do you even do for that?
And then we have Carol.
As a Christmas movie.
Versus
Bette and Tina.
Woo!
Oh my gosh. I honestly don't know who I would choose.
Thankfully,
we don't have to.
Yeah,
because
you're going to help us.
You're going to help us. You have to help us.
You have to narrow it down.
Our expertise has only got us this far.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Now we need you.
We need to hear from you.
We need you because we also don't want to get yelled at if we pick the wrong way.
Which we will.
Which we will.
As someone who's played a lesbian on TV once, I will do it wrong. Don't forget to subscribe. It really helps out our show. And rate and review. But only if you like us.
Yeah. If you don't like us, just keep it to yourself.
You're homophobic.
And you're a piece of shit.
Come to terms with that and move on.
You're a piece of shit homophobe and you're sad.
If you don't like us, there's always the Joe Rogan podcast, you piece of shit.
But if you love us.
Which you probably do.
Then 5-star us, please.
And we want to hear what you think. So email us at jocularpod@hyperobjectindustries.com.
Or follow us on Instagram and TikTok at jocularpod.
We love you.
We love you.
Love you. Slide into the DMs.
Slide into the DMs.
Jocular is a production of Hyperobject Industries with Metalark Media and was produced by Zaylee Mahone and Haley Fager. Original music and theme are by Nick Gage and ER Fightmaster. Dan Gallucci is our engineer, and our executive producers are Harry Nelson, Claire Slaughter, Dan Lebatard, and Adam McKay.
Bounce, bounce, pass. Pass, kick, pass. Dunk it.
What?
Funk it.
Sure.
Serve it.
Here?
Work it.
Swish.
Jocular. We're about to get jocular.
Slide into the DM.
Slide on in.
Slide on in.
Slide. Slide.
Slide. Slide. Slide.
We're looking at it.